Division 2005-79, Paradise Property.
Need that one.
This application is to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agricultural...
Come on, people, don't let me down. Don't let me down, thank you. All right, Mr. Lank, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I'll start over. Subdivision number 2005-79 is the application of Paradise Property to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, dividing 84.27 acres into 169 lots in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone and being located south of Road 336, 4,300 feet southwest of Road 335A, and also being north of Pepper Creek. The applicants have provided a rather large three-ring binder as an exhibit booklet, and it is a part of the record, and all the commissioners have copies. And I would ask Mr. Abbott if there's any additional comments.
Nobody.
On this application.
Mr. Chairman, I'll pass down a colored rendering of the state plan. This application was reviewed by the TAC committee on May 24th this year. That report will be made a part of the record. And we received a memorandum this afternoon. It's addressed to Mr. Lang from Mike Izzo, the county engineer. Please be advised that we have reviewed the site plan for the above reference project. While we have no objection to preliminary approval being granted, said approval should be subject to the following conditions. They want a brief synopsis. They want the sewer. There's three parties looking at the sewer: Artesian, Tidewater, in the county. They want that resolved first, and then they would like the 50-foot buffer for the sewer location, treatment plant location.
All right, sir.
I'll pass that down for everybody's review.
All right, thanks.
Is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, sir, Mr. Whitley.
Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant. With me are Ken Christenberry of Axiom Engineering and Jeff Franz, a principal of the applicant. What I'd like to do is let Ken put some boards up, and then I'm going to turn him loose. You know this area well, gentlemen. In July, two applications on Pine Lake Road were one for cluster and one for standard subdivision were approved. We think that's the trend of development in this area. We think this plan follows that trend. Ken, while you're there, if you could introduce yourself and briefly describe your credentials.
Ken Christenberry with Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown, Delaware. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of Delaware.
To begin, Ken, if you would locate the site for the members of the commission and take the commission on a quick trip around the immediate area.
Certainly. The site is located here on Piney Neck Road, just to the northeast. Turn this so you all have a similar exhibit in your books. I'll turn this so the crowd can see. About a mile to the northeast of the town of Dagsboro, which is down here, approved for final approval in July of this year, is the Pepper Creek Residential Plan Community, located approximately here, and the landings of Pepper Creek, which is a AR1 cluster subdivision, located right there.
If this property were developed, do you think, as proposed, it would have any negative impact on property value?
No, I don't think it would at all.
This is in an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. As a part of your work, did you commission a study of rare flora and fauna?
Yes, we did.
And the results of that study
are... Mr. Byard, the microphone is not picking you up for
some reason.
If you don't mind...
We'll turn it around this way. Is that better?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'll repeat the question. Did you commission, as a part of your work, a study of rare flora and fauna?
Yes. ERI was contracted to perform that work.
And is there a report about that study in this book?
I believe there is.
And the results of that study?
They didn't find any evidence of endangered species.
Was there a study commissioned of the timber or tree value of this property?
Yes, there was.
And the results of that study indicate what?
That the project consists of two different forested areas, the uplands and the area down by the wetlands.
At the end of the day, based on the plan you prepared, how much of that forested area is preserved?
When you contrast a standard lot subdivision with a cluster subdivision, an additional 6 acres is preserved.
Of this property, what portion is wetlands?
Hold on 1 second. I believe it's 14 acres.
Have you applied for a jurisdictional determination in that regard?
Yes, we have. It was delineated by ERI. We have about 13 acres of tidal wetlands and another 3.5 acres of 404 federal wetlands.
And that awaits a determination by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers?
Yes, it does.
All right. What buffers have you created from wetlands, if any?
A minimum of a 10-foot buffer from any lot line is incorporated into the project.
There'll be no lots in wetlands.
That's correct.
Let's talk about the PLUS process. Can you talk briefly about what you took to PLUS?
It's over here, pardon me.
Rather than go into detail, Ken, about what you took to PLUS, why don't you talk about PLUS's response? Mr. Johnson, you'll find the PLUS letter and the response in a different font and color in your booklet.
Thank you.
Certainly.
When we met with PLUS, we received, as usual, quite a few comments. They're rather substantial, and we made several revisions. This was the original plan that was submitted to PLUS. Included in the revisions, we have proposed that the original area that was proposed for the wastewater disposal area would be removed to an off-site facility if one becomes available from either the county engineering department or Tidewater Utilities or Artesian or another public service commission regulated utility, and it does appear that that's very, very likely to be the case. Increased wetlands was provided through vegetated buffers. A stub street was requested in this area here, which has been added to the new plan in that area to the west to accommodate future development. Additional right-of-way dedications were made for DelDOT. On-site sidewalks were added. Trails were added through the woods. There's an existing trail that's going to be preserved, and additional trails are going to be added. Street lights. An easement for a multimodal path was requested by DelDOT along Piney Neck Road. And basically, we reviewed the other regulatory requirements that were outlined in PLUS and made assurances that the regulations in force at the time of the development will be met.
When you submitted your response to PLUS, did you hear any further comment from PLUS?
We did. We received a June 13th, 2006 letter from the State Planning Office directed to Mr. Lank, and we received a copy of it. I'd like to read it into the record if that
go right ahead.
The Office of State Planning has received a letter from Mr. Kenneth Christenberry of Axiom Engineering responding to our October 17th, 2005 PLUS comments regarding the Pepper Creek Point project. As stated in our original letter, the project is proposed within a level 4 area according to the strategies for state policies and spending and the environmentally sensitive developing area of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. It was further noted that the forested areas and wetlands on the site influenced the designation as investment level 4, and we recommended a site design that is sensitive to the natural resources on and surrounding site. This would include efforts to preserve forested area and protect the wetlands through vegetated buffers. According to the information received, the developer has worked to meet many of our concerns regarding the development of this property, including pulling the wastewater disposal area out of the forested area and stub streets to connect the adjoining parcels. The state appreciates the willingness of the developer to address our concerns. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me. Sincerely, Constance Holland.
Let's talk about what this project would look like as a grid subdivision. Do you have a rendering?
With the standard lot subdivision, because the density would be less than 2 units per acre, Chapter 99 does not require open space of any kind, and a standard lot subdivision would only require a 30-foot buffer along the western edge of the property against the adjoining agricultural land. The only other open space would be the regulated wetlands that would be required. The code doesn't require any additional open space.
Let's talk about the Post Plus plan. What does that accomplish?
It accomplishes quite a bit of improvement to what a standard lot development would. Our open space increases on the standard lot subdivision. The open space is approximately 18.36 acres or 21.7% of the site. Again, the majority of that on a standard lot subdivision would be regulated wetlands, essentially land that's very difficult to develop. We go from 18.36 acres to 35.9 acres, almost doubling the open space. In those open space areas, we've included quite a few amenities. We have a walking trail going through the woods here and then back up into this wooded area as well, with a pedestrian connection to the lands of the Sussex County Land Trust. We did not think a vehicular connection to the Sussex County Land Trust made any sense, but it sounds like the Sussex County Land Trust would probably potentially have a pedestrian trail that would continue from there, and if they don't, it wouldn't be a problem. The sidewalks that were added to the roads amount to about 3 miles of sidewalk. Tennis court has been added in the central area, as well as a basketball court and horseshoe pit, swimming pool, a tot lot, and finally a 2,400 square foot clubhouse and parking lot are added there in the middle. None of those amenities are called for in the standard lot subdivision code as a requirement.
Will there be a school bus shelter and a parking area?
Yes, the school bus is to be located out. We spoke with the school board. We're not going to provide a separate parking area because they wanted actually on Piney Neck Road is where the school board requested it, and DelDOT wouldn't grant us a separate entrance, but there will be areas in the driveway coming in and out of the project where folks could park.
On the plot, can there are a number of what appear to be homes here and here and here. Can you talk about those?
Yes, the homes located here and here are the residences of the sellers, and they are choosing to continue to live there. So they're convinced that the project will be a quality project because they've elected to maintain their homes and maintain land. There is this parcel here, which is not a new lot, does contain wetlands. It goes all the way down to the pond. That's for the existing home. But it's not a new lot. It's simply, it's the remainder of what's being subdivided out. These homes over here are served by a gravel road that currently starts at Piney Neck Road and runs down along the edge of the property through an existing easement that exists on our land. That easement now runs by and with one of our subdivision roads so that they can continue to use their gravel entrance. When they reach this cul-de-sac, it'll now be a paved road instead of gravel. And then when they get down here to where the driveway splinters off from the subdivision road, it'll be the gravel that it is today.
Will the location of those ways change in any way?
Not in any significant way, no.
So that the owners of the homes in this area will have the same access?
I'd call it an improved access because it's paved instead of gravel the whole way. And if they were interested in driving on even less gravel, they could come in the project entrance, use the project streets to get back to their driveway. Mm-hmm. But if they wanted to continue to use their existing entrance, there'd be no reason for them to stop.
Let's address, if we can, briefly Section 99-9C of the county ordinance. Okay. Gentlemen, as you know, there are 17 elements in that provision of our ordinances, and we're going to touch on every one as quickly as we can.
99C, paragraph 1, integration of the proposed subdivision into existing terrain and surrounding landscape. The entire project will have a forested buffer around the edge. The county, of course, requires a 30-foot buffer along the agricultural lands to the west. To the east, we're going to have a buffer in excess of 30 feet. Should be a very substantial buffer. And of course, we have buffers along the wetlands areas as well. The frontage will have a landscape buffer as well. So the entire project is encircled by a landscape buffer.
One question before you go further, Ken.
On your plot, you have what appears to be, are these trees?
Yes.
Rear lot lines. Can you talk about that for a second?
On new lots where rear lot lines back up to one another, an easement, a 10-foot wide easement's been established where native trees need to be planted every 30 feet. There'll be a deed restriction requiring that to be put in. The homeowners will be responsible for maintaining that beyond the whatever the warranty period is for the landscaping contractor that puts them in, but those will be planted as a part of the development of the project.
Let's move on.
Paragraph 2, minimal use of wetlands and floodplains. As we stated before, no new lots are being cut up in the wetlands at all. We do anticipate filing an application for a boat ramp in this location here. As you all are aware, that is subject to a very rigorous permitting procedure, and subject to their approval, we would like to have a boat ramp for the community. There would not be a marina. There wouldn't be overnight docks. There would probably be a few slips. So as boats are dropped in off the boat ramp, they have somewhere to tie up as they load and unload. But no overnight docking or marina facilities would be provided. Other than that, there are no wetland impacts anticipated for the project.
Well, let's move on.
Paragraph 3, preservation of natural and historical features. Use of the cluster ordinance allows us to maintain 75% of the woods that are on the current site. Again, as you can see from the standard lot, the percentage of maintained woodlands is extremely diminished from that percentage.
Don't stop.
Chapter 4, preservation of open space and scenic views. The conversion from it's an ag field. Conversion from an ag field to a buffered cluster development should definitely improve the views of the area. The open space that's being provided with the project is much more meaningful to a community than an ag field would be.
And
paragraph 5, minimization of tree vegetation and soil removal and grade changes. Again, 75% of the existing trees on the site will be preserved by the design as proposed. Paragraph 6, screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways. Again, the boundaries of the project will be buffered on every side. Number 7, provision for water supply. Tidewater Utilities has provided a willing and able letter. It is in your file. They are anticipated to be the central water provider for the project. Paragraph 8, provision for sewage disposal. Tidewater Utilities, again, has provided a willing and able letter. County Engineer's Office has expressed an interest, and it would simply be a matter of the scheduling. We definitely feel it would be a benefit to have the wastewater treated off-site in a regional facility, because usually you'll have a higher level of treatment, and the entire wooded area could remain. However, we have run soil tests to see if we could do wastewater disposal on-site in the event no regional facility were available, and the tests have all come back positive. We have a feasibility letter, which is included in your report. And we've run some geologic tests as well to check the groundwater mounding, and the site is well suited to do wastewater disposal on site. But again, we're not pursuing that as a primary option, because we believe off-site disposal is a much better option. Paragraph 9, prevention of pollution of surface and groundwater. Conversion from a site with several poultry houses and ag fields to single-family homes that are served by central sewer is a far superior net effect on the water quality in the inland bays than the current agricultural use. Paragraph 10, minimization of erosion and sedimentation, minimization of changes in groundwater levels, minimization of increased rates of runoff, minimization of potential for flooding, and design of drainage so that groundwater recharge is maximized. Conversion from ag use to development will stabilize the site. Right now, there's very little lasting vegetation because the site's constantly in till, so the erosion and sedimentation that occurs now is is much higher than it will be when the site is developed. Groundwater recharge is going to be maximized by the design because we are going to be pursuing with DENREC green technology best management practices because the Pepper Creek is tidally affected. So the need for conventional ponds may be able to be minimized compared to a site that has to manage those quantity issues, and that will give us more opportunities for groundwater recharge. Paragraph 11, provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent ways. As mentioned previously, a pedestrian connection to the east and a vehicular access to the west. Sidewalks within the site and walking trails does provide for that. Effect on area property values. The development of this project will enhance the property values of landowners in the area. Preservation and conservation of farmland. This is a developing area, as is evidenced by our earlier exhibit. Over 200 units were approved in Pepper Creek RPC there, and over 120 units were approved on the landings at Pepper Creek. And as a developing area, it does make sense to have developing areas that start in and near municipalities and work their way out. So this is an area that it appears as though the commission has chosen to consider a developing area based on the previous projects. Effect on schools, public buildings, and community facilities. A school impact report has been prepared and is a part of the record in our application. The findings of the report are that the impact on area schools would be minimal. Paragraph 15, effect on area roadways and public transportation. We will be working with DLDOT on any entrance permitting issues. They did exempt us from the requirements of a traffic impact study because of the size of the project. They trigger traffic impact studies for projects quite a bit larger than this. Paragraph 16, compatibility with other area land uses. Again, there's an existing subdivision across the street from the site that has a few lots developed in it, right there, Oakwood. And then there are two new subdivisions that are located even further from the closest municipality. And we believe we're definitely compatible or perhaps even hopefully a better project than what you've seen fit to approve in the area. The effect on area waterways, again, conversion from ag to residential development is going to have a positive impact with the provision of central sewer. The treatment levels that are required in community or central sewer systems is much higher than is required in individual systems.
Gentlemen, Shane did not read the entirety of Mr. Izzo's letter, but for want of a better term, the county, Artesian, and Tidewater are arguing about who should provide central sewer in the area. The one thing that Mr. Izzo has said that I think we all agree upon is if it's at all feasible, and it certainly is, sewage waste should be treated off-site to preserve the area of woods that adjoin the Sussex County Land Trust property, and that's obviously the intent here. If there is no other solution, as Ken's told you, those soils are adequate. It would be regrettable, and let's hope that Tidewater, Artesian, and the county can make peace. They're supposed to meet later this week, or excuse me, this month, and Mike assures me there will be a solution reached. That said, Ken, in your opinion as an engineer and as the planner of this project, is this project compliant with the county's cluster ordinance?
Yes, it does.
Tell me how, in a few words, this project is superior in design and result to an ordinary grid subdivision.
If you look at the two projects over here, it's self-evident. The open space and amenities that are missing down here paint a very, very telling story about what the difference will be between the two projects. The buffers that are provided around the entirety of the project, the amenities that are provided within the project are vastly superior to what would be allowed in a permitted standard lot subdivision.
One thing I didn't ask you, but I need to, amenities. Is there an amenity schedule that the applicant proposes?
There is. It's located on the exhibit here at the 50th Certificate of Occupancy. Sidewalks, walking trails, and gazebos, at the 75th CO, the tot lot, the tennis court, the basketball court, and horseshoe pit, at the 100th CO, swimming pool in the parking lot, and at the 125th CO, the clubhouse would commence construction.
Gentlemen, that's the application. We think it's pretty consistent with the character and trend of development in the Piney Neck area. We think it's remarkable that it's been to Plus and come back, if not with rave reviews, at least with something positive. That's unusual in my experience with Plus. We think it's clearly superior to a grid subdivision, and we think it's at least the equal, if not better than, the projects you recently approved in July. It meets all the requirements of our county ordinances, and we're prepared to answer any questions you have.
All right, sir, thank you. We'll see if anyone has any. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Byard,
sir,
thank you for giving me a better handle on the sequence and the optimism with the central sewer to be resolved. I apologize. I don't know if I made a note of who would be your drinking water provider.
Tidewater has issued a ready, willing, and able letter and has the CPCN for the water supply in the area.
All right. Thank you. And I think I heard Mr. Christianberry say it, an additional 6 acres of forest would be saved using the cluster concept?
Between these two plans, yes.
Between those two.
Yeah, this acreage up in here, in particular, Mr. Smith, would be what's preserved.
Future plans would involve possibility of applying for a boat ramp through state and subaqueous lands outside of the commission, but no individual docks, maybe just a lightering area?
No, if there were a dock, it would be a community dock. It would not allow overnight docking or marina services.
Okay. Have HOA, homeowners associations, restriction covenants, and all been?
A draft has been run by Mr. Robertson. There is one tweak that needs to be made, and that is to assure the rear lot line easement, which will be shown on the plot. It'll be on the record plot, to require maintenance by the individual lot owner of the rear lot line planning. The responsibility of the developer to put them in, but after the warranty period, it becomes the homeowner's responsibility.
Well, the existing dwellings that my understanding is will be retained by the seller, will they become a part of the homeowners association, or?
There is no plan in that regard. They are out parcels. They will be served by the subdivision roads, but there's no reason to incorporate them unless for some reason the sellers would like to join the association.
And the other two properties there to the east that are, these are outside your parcel, but
that's
enjoy
correct.
That.
Those are out parcels served by an existing gravel lane, mm-hmm. that runs out to Piney Neck Road. That gravel lane and their access remains in exactly the same location. The only difference is that this area becomes a subdivision road. It's hard surfaced. At the end of the cul-de-sac, the gravel road resumes back out to Piney Neck Road. These residents have the option of using subdivision roads. Mm-hmm.
Would it be problematic to pave that last portion from the cul-de-sac while I know it's outside? Is there problems with doing that? Would that be a benefit insofar, or does that come into problems?
I suspect there's some residents here who want to be heard on the subject. It cuts two ways, Mr. Smith.
I could see that.
If it were paved, it would be an invitation to become
right.
a subdivision road, which it's not. Mm-hmm. From here to here is a private way for these
mm-hmm.
If it were paved, it might be an invitation to unwanted traffic.
I think DelDOT would probably be very concerned about an increase in the amount of traffic using it if it were paved.
Would be very hard to control.
Yeah.
And what those owners would have is less privacy than.
I could see it being a benefit and a burden.
Right.
Could help fire trucks, but then it could be
yeah.
an attraction. Right. I think it's important to have it on the record.
If the fire trucks were to choose, most traffic's coming to and from Dagsboro. Mm-hmm. So using the actual subdivision entrance and coming around this way isn't a whole lot longer than using the gravel road. And that's an option that'd be available to either emergency personnel or to the residents in the homes that are served by the private driveway. But I think if we try to do a paved entrance in this location, I think DelDOT would probably take issue with that.
Question I had to ask.
Sure.
That's all.
All right, sir, Mr. Gordy.
All my questions have been answered.
Mr. Johnson. I have no questions.
Mr. Burton.
I have none either.
Mr. Lang.
Would there be a bus shelter built if requested by the school district or if required by the commission, and where?
We contacted the Indian River School District. It's actually shown on the rendering, but it's kind of small at this scale. See that little...
Okay, I got you. Right, I wonder what that was. Okay.
It's just shy of the entrance. That's where the school district asked us to show the shelter.
And are these dedicated streets to be dedicated to public use and maintained by the state, or are they private?
Private HOA streets.
At this stage, that decision is private.
Okay. That's all I have.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Couts?
I don't have any questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Mr. Robertson?
Just one question. Are you applying for a cluster subdivision or a,
yes,
a subdivision on the environmentally sensitive?
It is both a cluster and an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. Same okay. Equation.
Just in that case, I just want to remind the commission that the standards are different, although they've gone through somewhat the superiority.
The result's the same.
Right, but under the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone for the smaller lots, you don't have to show the superiority component that you do on the clustering if you have the central wastewater type of thing. So
we prefer to go the long way, given the character of and the trend of development, and given the neighbors.
Sure.
The project needed to be over-designed.
They certainly can do that. I just want to make the commission aware.
Thank you, sir. All right, gentlemen, we thank you. If you would take
thanks
a seat nearby, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-79 Paradise Property? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-79? Yes, ma'am. Please come forward. Give us your name and address. Tell us what's on your mind.
All right. My name's Jane Tribbett, and that's my house, the big white spot right over here. That's my house. Okay.
Okay.
You know, that was my grandfather's land. I've been a lifelong resident of Sussex County. I've lived there since I was born. It's unusual. And that was my grandfather, William Bernstein's land, and it was divided when he passed away to my uncle, that's one of the sellers, and my aunt, that's the other seller. My mom gave me the land, not selling. My main questions, now that you know that, I've spoke to the developers. We've sat down and talked many times now, and they were very nice. You know, naturally they're going to be very nice. Doesn't really impact them. Again, you know, the building and leaving, that's fine. I'm a shift worker. I work at BB Medical Center. I've been a nurse there for 22 years. I'm concerned about the noise, beating and banging, building houses. You know, it's going to be noisy. And I heard him say he was going to build 169 lots. And as you currently know, there's only the four of us back there. My daughter, I did give her land behind me, and she built a house recently. And then my neighbors, they're here also. That was my sister's home. They sold that. So that's another person there, which they're wonderful. Concerns. Well, they already know about the my 50-foot right-of-way, how I did not want, and no way, shape, or form, I did not want that moved. It goes straight back to my house, as you see. Originally, it had been proposed way down by my Uncle Bruce's house. That's one of the sellers on down, all the way down this end. I didn't want it moved. I didn't want it changed. I liked the way it is. I've had it for 26 years since I built my house back there, and I don't want it changed. So they know that already, and so they have changed that. I'm pleased with that, by the way. Thank you. secondly, my biggest concerns are the noise and traffic. We already have, as you know, I guess you've already proved, the marina at Peppers Creek, Sea Cliffs, and now we're going to get this Peppers Creek Point. So there's three. I live there. I know about the traffic, and you need to listen. You're trying to get out on 26 is terrible. Every Friday night, you have to go around where S&J, anybody's local, Probably not. Yeah, okay. Well, wherever's the S&J, you have to go around there to get out on the road. I have to take the back way to get to the hospital. It's unbelievable. It's unreal. But seriously, you need to listen. Traffic is terrible getting out on Main Street. Now you're going to put three more huge developments in there. How are you going to get out on Main Street? That's the biggest concern, from Piney Neck to Main Street, and that's something I think that's not really been addressed. My husband's a firefighter, and as far as getting the tanker down the road, we don't have any problem with getting the tanker down the road because we have a swimming pool that gets filled up frequently, and we never, it's a big pool, it's 21 by 41, and we don't have any problems getting the tankers down the road. So I don't think that should be a problem, but I think the traffic is a problem, and you really need to address that. It's terrible. Noise, traffic. I didn't hear him say how big that buffer is going to be down there where my bald eagles nest. I know that Denirac had told me that it was going to be 300 feet was recommended. I didn't hear him exactly say how much that was going to be down beside me. Remember, that's adjacent directly to me, all those houses. That was another concern. And other than that, I think he addressed everything else. So please take in consideration traffic on that road. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Christian Berry, do you know anything about the bald eagle distances or any of that stuff?
Can I introduce?
You need to come up and identify yourself, sir.
He can address that. And if we might, Mr. Wheeler, we can estimate the separation between Mrs. Trivett's house.
I suspect. That's what I was asking, maybe, just to give some idea if it's in excess of 300 feet or not. I mean, I guess that's the question.
Jeff Franz, Paradise Property. There's a letter, it's actually in here too, that talks about endangered species and all kinds of species. And Denirac had determined that the issue with the previously bald eagle that used to be near the site has actually moved further down the creek. And the buffer to where that nest is.
Now, is it a second home for the eagle, or has he moved everything down there?
As far as what all of our studies have determined is that there's nothing in the immediate vicinity. And everything that used to be there has moved further down the creek.
And it's not keeping a summer place up here or anything. He's just got the new place over.
That's my understanding.
All right. Probably senior housing, Mr. Wheeler.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Does anyone else like to speak? Yes, sir.
Good evening. Brian Hitchens. I'll also live at... Go ahead. Brian Hitchens. I also live down at the end of Buck Hill Lane, which is the right-of-way that Ms. Trivett was talking about earlier. This map, first, can I walk away from the microphone?
You may. Go right ahead. Just talk real loud.
The first point I really want to point out to everyone is this that looks like trees, it really is marshland, phragmitis, that sort of thing. And this doesn't really illustrate a grade. There's a tremendous elevation difference from this area up here down to the water.
I can show you we have that indicated on the plan here.
I just know because I live there.
Sure.
And the proposed boat ramp area down here, I don't know what kind of boat they're going to launch from there, but I was duck hunting there probably about a week ago, and at low tide there's about 6 inches of water. So there's going to definitely need to be some dredging or something that occurs there. But the point I wanted to make with the grade difference there is this development consists of approximately, from the paperwork I've seen, 25% of impervious surfaces, which are going to result in a tremendous amount of runoff downstream. It slopes definitely towards the water. And this is in a high nutrient area, which requires 85% reduction in nitrogen. And to me, I'm no engineer or anything like that, but any kind of runoff that you're going to increase is definitely going to increase the pollution and that in the bay. And recently in Piney Neck, they found the brown marsh, and also there's been fish kills in the past several years down in the Piney Neck area. The eagle's nest that they were talking about is actually located on this parcel right adjacent to the land trust. I believe it's this one here.
In his new house?
That's the same house he's been in since I've been there, and I've been down there quite a while.
That's where the Pepper Creek RPC is.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the development. They haven't started yet, but it has been approved, I see. But his nest is there. I haven't seen any nest actually on this property, but he uses it as a foraging area. You know, he fishes and uses it that way. Also, in the creek in front of that development that's directly downstream, they found some kind of red sunfish. I was reading in the paperwork from that approval that that's an endangered species also, and anything we do to this property, it runs downhill, so to speak, guys, so it's definitely going to affect what happens down there. The land trust, I've been told, has proposals for a canoe and a kayak launch, that sort of thing, for the public to use, and anything we do to this area is definitely going to detract from that. It's going to affect the scenery. That woods isn't really the woods that they show. I mean, you can see those two properties that the landowners have. You can see those from the water. And any trees that are taken from there are definitely going to deter from that. Another matter I want to think about is the conflict between the housing and the agriculture in the area. There's a farm directly across the street from this property. It has chicken houses, which are currently being used. And anytime you mix agriculture and houses, you're going to get the conflict with the smells of Sussex County that we all appreciate. Fire protection. I don't know whether the developers are aware of it, but Dagsboro Fire Company, very few, and I know this because I was the past chief of the neighboring Frankfort Fire Department, Dagsboro Fire Company doesn't utilize Piney Neck Road for access to Piney Neck Road. They can't make the turn at the end of the road. They have to make a right out of their firehouse, out to Main Street, down and onto Piney Neck Road. You put another 400 cars on that road, it's hard enough to get out of there now. You're going to definitely slow some fire response into that area. Thank you, guys.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Please come forward.
My name is Jan Thompson. I'm the third house down there on the right-of-way. I would like to address the traffic on Piney Neck Road. Piney Neck Road currently has a posted speed limit of 50 miles an hour. It has no shoulders, no painted lines, either on the edge or no center line. I'm a walker, and I have walked probably for 45 years and have walked probably across the United States 7 or 8 times, mileage-wise. I no longer walk on Piney Neck Road. It's not safe. And fortunately, when the water system was put into Dagsboro, they put sidewalks in town, and I usually park in town and walk to Frankfort or out to 113 and back or through the town. When I have added up the total of these three developments, and assuming each home has a minimum of 2 vehicles, the traffic is going to be amazing. We have a very difficult time during certain times of the day getting from our right-of-way onto Piney Neck Road. And as Mrs. Tribbett said, getting to the post office on Saturday morning from Memorial Day to Labor Day is impossible. This really needs to be addressed. So that is what I'm concerned about.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else with something different? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We thank you all for your patience this evening. You may wish to remain with us, see if we make a decision, or you may call the office tomorrow. And once again, we thank you for being here.